Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
As you just heard in Pete's update, Ron Rivera spoke at the Combine yesterday. We will discuss what Rivera had to say this morning. Chase Young just talked in Indianapolis a few minutes ago. We've got some thoughts on some of the things he had to say. And there is news this morning that makes it look less likely that Tom Brady stays with the New England Patriots. Might he actually be leaving New England? Could we see the end of an era with the Patriots? All coming up early on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Multiple things. Number one, you were first on Plymouth Rock on this Tom Brady's going to leave thing. I didn't see anybody else saying it. You said it. You believed it. This is your day. You walk around here like Mick Jagger in the middle of an encore, okay? I want to see hands on hips, and I want to see a lot of peacock strutting. You deserve it.
Peacock strutting waits for when he actually leaves and goes and plays somewhere else.
Here's
Jeff Darlington having a hunch that it might happen.
Don't you downplay this. This is your moment. You celebrate this. Shake the tail when you walk. You said this was a distinct possibility, and everyone poo-pooed it, including me. It's now a possibility, whether it's just posturing or not, and we'll determine that. He might yet go back to New England. They could reconcile because they got 30 years of marriage already under the belt, and the kids are still at home. I'm telling you, the fact that it's on the table this far into the offseason, advantage Grant Paulson. Second thing I want to say is I navigated away from the Maryland Terrapins when they were down 14 with about 8 minutes left. They won that game. Everything that's wrong with them on display, everything right with them on display last night in a road win, that was absurd. And the Wizards had a fun W last night. Jerome Robinson, I'm liking what I see here. It's got little Avery Bradley to his game. A little undersized, but incredibly athletic. Hit a big shot. It was a big shot to win a game last evening against the undermanned Brooklyn Nets. Fun sports night.
Yeah, 110-106 for the Wizards, a four-point win behind 30 from Bradley Beal. What happened, Brad?
Ho-hum 30 from Brad.
He couldn't score 50 for a third straight game? Davis Bertans and Rui Hachimura are pouring in a combined 31 to help the win for the Wizards. There's still a lot of talk from the people that care a lot about the Wizards that they might make the playoffs. I'm not buying that because they're not beating the teams that they need to beat to do that. But nights like last night give you at least the possibility of dreaming a little bit on the fact that if you handle your business and you beat the bad teams, there's enough of those in the NBA that you're going to be around in the end.
They're rebuilding. I'm having fun watching them.
Yeah.
That's what I ask for. This is not a championship contender. I don't care about the 8 seed. If they make it as a corollary to some of these young players, the Troy Browns, the Bertanses, playing well, fine by me.
Napier just was added, can score the ball a little bit. Yeah. Rui Hachimura looks like he was a very solid pick in the top 10.
He's very solid.
There's a lot to like about the Wizards at this point. I want to start, though, with Ron Rivera yesterday. He talked a lot in his press conference about Dwayne Haskins, his incumbent starting quarterback. And among the things that he said about Haskins were which specific games give him a lot of hope moving forward, what he has to do to improve, and how much of a competition he'll face this year. But this was yesterday at the Combine. This was Ron Rivera.
I see some progress from the time he started the Detroit game to the very last game he played. I know he didn't play in the last one, but until he got hurt, you look at those things and you say, man, there's some growth there. I mean, there's some potential for a young man to be the type of player that, you know, he can be. But the thing that excited me about the Detroit game was the fourth quarter, the two drives when they had to score. He was very calm. He was very calculated. He showed his poise. He showed his leadership. And he put them in position to win a football game. That's what you want from your quarterback, is a guy that gives you a chance to win, that guy can help you win. You can win because of him, and you can win with him. That's what's exciting. He's got that type of potential, but he's got to grow into it. And nothing will be given. He's not anointed. That's for doggone sure. I'm expecting him to come in and compete and work, and we'll see what happens.
The Detroit game, if you remember, was Haskins' first time as the starting quarterback in a winning effort. He had what was pretty much an awful three quarters.
Yeah, it was not good.
Completely inaccurate, missing wide open receivers. And then he rallied the troops. I likened it afterwards to a starting pitcher with his C or D stuff, kind of gutting through a game and ultimately the team winning. And a lot of quarterbacks can't do that. A lot of guys are rhythm throwers, and their performance earlier in the game does not allow them to just hit a switch and suddenly get sharper late. But he did, and there were a couple of huge plays by Terry McLaurin that bailed him out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Haskins had in that game what you and I have always kind of looked for, which is a confidence, a borderline cockiness walking out on the field where he doesn't know how bad he's been today. He thinks he's probably been really good.
Or I'm 0 for 12, the next three's going in.
Exactly. He's just going to keep shooting. And most people would go, dude, maybe just pass the ball here. Let someone else take the shot. But he does seem extremely confident.
I love that.
Paid off with that Lions game. And that game, to Rivera's point, kind of got him going a little bit. It wasn't all great after that by any means. But that was the beginning of what was a huge period of maturation and growth for him on the field down the stretch, culminating with a game and a half that was borderline excellent.
Yeah, I would say that was the launching point. I love that Rivera pointed that out as well, because again, sometimes, you know, sometimes the weather's bad, sometimes the wind's blowing, sometimes you don't have it. Those games still count. Nobody cares that, hey, I wasn't in great rhythm that day. Did you win? Is there a way to start stockpiling some of these things? As you said, the good comp is the pitcher. You know, if you make 30 starts, 10 games, you got your ace stuff, the sliders, you know, diving off the table, your fastball's riding in, your changeup's dark. Congrats, you got great stuff that day. There's the 10 in the middle, and then there's the 10 bad games. They all count the same, and nobody cares at the end of the day. Can you find a way to win some of those games, even if it's an ugly fashion? All the great ones have, and that's important.
He was 13 of 29 passing in that Detroit game. So it is almost comical that we look at that performance, no touchdowns and a pick, and we say, man, that 47.5 rating that day, that was the one that got him going. But if you just look at the last two drives, it was ugly, terrible team they're playing, awful defense. They win 19-16 largely because of their own defense. But it was those last two drives that excited Rivera and gave him a little bit of hope. And oh, by the way, that was the tape he was watching going into the Carolina game the following week, which would end up being Rivera's last game with the Panthers, when Haskins went 13 of 25, no touchdowns, no picks, had a 69 rating, and threw for 147 yards against Carolina and Charlotte. And he played better in the Panthers game, made a couple of really athletic play extension, Roethlisberger-ian type plays in that game. That was the first time I remember thinking it. Already flashed a little bit coming out of that Lions game. The Packers game was not nearly as good, but remember, he was hobbled the entire day, and that's a much better opponent. And then he had the Eagles gem and the Giants half that was brilliant. This was Ron Rivera, since he's taken over as head coach, on what he has seen from Dwayne Haskins, kind of in passing, even though they're not allowed to get a lot of time together.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, Dwayne's done is he's been around. I mean, you know, he's in the building. He'll pop by, say hello and wave at you and go get his workout in. He's been around a group of guys that do that, and so he's learning from their example. And one of the things that he and I talked about specifically is that he just continued to grow as a young man, as a person.
Rivera telling you that Haskins has been there, and we know how important that is because his rhetoric, Doug Williams' rhetoric, all the people in the front office who have spoken have said the same thing, basically. He needs to make sure he's in the building getting better and learning. I mean, Williams even had the weird comment where
gallivanting around.
Said,
yeah.
I'm trying to convince him that he can't gallivant all over the place all offseason, which still is very, very odd. But it sounds like he, at least according to Rivera, is at the facility as often as they'd like him to be. So, that's what he said anyway.
And that was one of the mysteries, right? What did Doug Williams actually mean? Is this an ongoing problem when you start talking about this offseason? Was he doing too much that had nothing to do with football? Or was this, hey, we've talked about this, and now he's really applying himself? That was good. Again, that's promising. Check that box.
If you watched all of Rivera's availability yesterday, and you heard any of it here on 106.7 The Fan, whether it was this press conference or some of the quotes that came out of his gathering with the media thereafter. He basically just left everything on the table in every regard. He did not want to narrow the focus on any of the specific picks or on any story. You're asked about Trent Williams. He might be or he might not. You're asked about Dwayne Haskins. We really like him. We'll see what happens. He basically just left everything wide open for interpretation, which is fine. But when asked about that number two pick, he didn't have a lot to say other than that all the options are available.
Before we do anything with the number two pick, we got to see what happens with the number one pick. And so once that pick goes on, then we'll go from there. But again, as I said, everything's an option. You know, as far as in talking with Kyle, we've talked a couple of times already what, you know, situations potentially be. But the truth is we got to see what happens in front of us.
Here's where we can start on the phones, though, and we can get a couple of people's thoughts at 800-636-1067 to jumpstart the show. 800-636-1067. In a subsequent meeting with DC reporters, when asked about the idea that Rivera said, because in this press conference, he said, Dwayne Haskins will not be anointed, that's for doggone sure, that he's going to have to compete for the job. I think it was Ben Standing of The Athletic asked him, what do you mean competition? And he said, I want a competitive competition. What would that look like? And what does that even mean?
What does that mean?
Are they really going to bring someone in here to push Haskins? Or was it just a veteran that you say is competing in the same way last year that Colt McCoy was competing with Dwayne Haskins? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I see some progress from the time he started the Detroit game to the very last game he played. I know he didn't play in the last one, but until he got hurt, you look at those things and you say, man, there's some growth there. I mean, there's some potential for a young man to be the type of player that, you know, he can be. But the thing that excited me about the Detroit game was the fourth quarter, the two drives when they had to score. He was very calm. He was very calculated. He showed his poise. He showed his leadership. And he put them in position to win a football game. And that's what you want from your quarterback, is a guy that gives you a chance to win, that guy can help you win. You can win because of him, and you can win with him. That's what's exciting. He's got that type of potential, but he's got to grow into it. And nothing will be given. He's not anointed. That's for doggone sure. I'm expecting him to come in and compete and work, and we'll see what happens.
He's not anointed. He's got to compete. He's got to work. In a follow-up gathering with only D.C. local reporters right after the very national major press conference you heard there, which had, you know, Charlotte folks and people from all over the NFL asking Rivera about various competition committee questions, which is one of the things he's on. The Redskins reporters got to hang out with him a little bit, and one of the things they asked him was to go deeper into this idea of a competition for Dwayne Haskins, to which he said it's going to be a competitive competition. Do you think he's just trying to motivate Haskins? He is just saying what coaches should say in the offseason with a young quarterback so that they can get the most out of him mentally, physically, in his preparation? Or do you think they actually aren't sold enough to the point where they would allow for someone to possibly come in here that's good enough to beat him out?
This is the multi-million dollar question here. And I know some people think it's much ado about nothing. I don't, by the way. A competitive competition. They're going to acquire more quarterbacks. They have one under contract right now, okay? Is it somebody from the Chase Daniel, Drew Stanton, A.J. McCarron class? You are here to be a backup. You will be in the meeting room. You will help Dwayne Haskins wherever possible. You'll get five reps a week and be there in case of emergency if you have to come in, our season screwed. Is it that? And are they going to, quote-unquote, compete? Or do you bring in Marcus Mariota? Are you bringing in a veteran to actually try and compete for the starting job? What are you doing? Because a competitive competition versus a wink-wink competitive competition is really just anointing Dwayne Haskins, even though that's what Ron Rivera said he's not going to do. Do you put it on the silver platter for him, or do you say, we're going to go get somebody to help us? We're going to spend some money. We're going to get Teddy Bridgewater, for example, to be our starter because we think we can compete next year. What does competitive competition mean to you?
Yeah, most years, I think, the Redskins have had quote-unquote competitions over the last several, notwithstanding right after Robert Griffin took the job in 2012 or, you know, after the 15 season for Kirk Cousins, 16-17, he was kind of the unquestioned starting quarterback. And a lot of that had to do with just how much they were paying him. You don't franchise a guy and pay him average sum of the top five players at the position, and then he's at risk with every interception or incompletion of being benched. They kind of pretended like there was a competition between Colt McCoy and Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins last year when we all kind of knew Dwayne Haskins was going to start as soon as he was ready. I think competitive competition screams best guys going to play, but I'm just not really going to believe that until I see it. I guess my curiosity is how that relates back to the number two overall pick. You either are sold on Haskins as a starter with his potential, or you're not, in my opinion, right? You either feel like this is a franchise quarterback, or you don't feel that way. And you could certainly, as a brand new head coach here in Washington, grow into that. If you weren't picking second, it wouldn't matter to me if you don't already see that, if you don't already have the evaluation done that says this guy could be a franchise quarterback, because if you're picking 6 or 7 or 8 or 22 or 29 or even 5, you're not in a position to get Burrow or Tua, who everyone's telling you is the next great franchise QB in the National Football League. And therein lies kind of my curiosity, Danny. If you're not sold on Haskins yet, and there's no reason to be, and you just got here, okay, no problem. This is weird, though, because of the situation they're in where one of those two quarterbacks, or both potentially, could be there for them at number two.
So agree or disagree with this, because free agency comes first, and then you've got the draft, right? If they go get a Jag, Chad Henne, A.J. McCarron-type backup guy, that tells you, it's a pretty good indicator anyway, that they're fairly sold on Haskins, and that's what we kind of know going forward.
Yeah.
If they go get a veteran to really compete that could, that you know, you could eke out 7, 8, 9 wins if everything goes well, that also tells you what they think of Haskins, right? Won't they tip their hand in free agency coming up to a degree?
Probably, unless they view the draft as their opportunity to do that. In other words, I don't think you're going to spend any money on a veteran quarterback that matters if they're actually thinking about taking a QB at number two. Like, you're not going to spend on a veteran for $5 million a year or whatever as a backup and then draft a quarterback with Haskins on your roster. Now, you would move Haskins almost immediately, and then that backup might be the starter while Tua gets ready or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you're going to do both of those two things, because I think you could always bring in, to me, what they'll do is, like, Case Keenum will be back here next season.
Right, that caliber of guy.
And if it's that caliber of player, you bring in Case Keenum because he's not a threat. Now, you bring in Case Keenum because we've been there, we've seen it, we've done it. If he has to play, it's not going to be a disaster. But nobody's going to be calling for him. He's not pushing anybody. And you want your starter to feel comfortable. He's like the friend you're okay with your wife hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
There is a comfort there for Dwayne Haskins if it's Keenum. But if you mentioned just Bridgewater, I mean, that guy's going to be making $25
million. Right, but let's say you're in that marketplace. That I like your term of threat versus non-threat.
Right.
That's a threat, dude.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
But there's no way they sign a guy of that caliber.
Right.
It would be another threat on a lower level, like what the Titans did with Ryan Tannehill this past year. Tannehill was a starter for multiple years in the league before going to Tennessee. They had a quarterback who was entrenched but struggling, and they weren't sold on in Marcus Mariota. So what did they do? They went and got Tannehill.
Who was a threat?
Kind of a starter, but not really.
Uh-huh.
Better than most backups. A guy that could get on the field if Mariota struggled, and obviously it worked out beautifully for them, but that's a different conversation. Andre's in Manassas. Dre, how are you?
I'm doing, gentlemen. I mean, honestly, for me, here's the situation. Dan Snyder, everyone says that, you know, Haskins is his guy. This is your first year coaching, so you think you have some time under your belt. For me, I would honestly go in there thinking, hey, Haskins, I guess anoint him. Do what you need to do. This is your year. Show me what you got, you know. And then I have an opportunity to observe him if I'm Rivera from the side. Is he doing what he's supposed to be doing? Is he showing that he's the leader? Because I guess I'm not necessarily worried about wins my first year. And if ultimately Dwayne Haskins show that he is the guy, great. But if he shows that he isn't the guy, then, you know, perhaps the Redskins have a losing record and you have Trevor Lawrence in your back pocket for next year. I wouldn't necessarily try to select one of these guys this year when you have someone like Trevor Lawrence. Granted, I realize there's no guarantee because people else could have, you know, Giants could have a horrible record, but at least you're in a position, you know, to get another high draft pick next year, and Haskins had every ample opportunity to show exactly who he was or is.
Thank you, buddy. I just don't think they'll be in this. This is the thing. You could have a bad season and not be in this position again, right? You could win 4 or 5 games. You could win 2, 3 games, whatever it is. I don't think you're going to have the number two pick with this depth of a quarterback class in the near future.
No.
You have to take advantage of this opportunity in some way. Again, The worst case scenario is you get an incredible pass rusher. The best case is your franchise is remade because people get the steamies for Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or whatever.
Right? Or maybe the best case, honestly, is if you take one of these quarterbacks and they're exceptional. You get the franchise quarterback you've been looking for over a quarter century, maybe ever. I mean, when the Redskins have never really had one. Cousins, who we debate all the time, how good is he? What is he? What was he? He's their most successful quarterback over a three-year span they've ever had.
He got the franchise tag, but he wasn't a franchise guy. I think we all know that. Right, I mean, I'm talking they've coveted that superstar that you win because of.
Well, yeah, I mean, how are you determining franchise quarterback? Because I won't sign off on the idea he's not a franchise quarterback. Is he elite? Is he one of the best in football? Of course not.
Okay. Where it's when you think of Green Bay, you think of Aaron Rodgers. When you think of Miami, you think of Dan Marino. Still, you know, the franchise guy,
Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they've wanted that since I've been a Hall of Fame kid.
Quarterback.
Yeah, they want a superstar quarterback, and they haven't had one.
Maybe Burrow, maybe Tua could be that guy. This was Rivera when asked about the NFC East. It sounds like he feels like there are plenty of games to be won for this Redskins team in a division that is not a foregone conclusion.
I hope so. I think it's going to be an opportunity, and we'll see. But again, you know, the other coaches that are in this division, I know who Philadelphia is, and we don't know who the Giants are going to be. We don't know who the Cowboys are going to be. But there's a lot of good coaches. And again, we just got to go out and compete and see how things happen.
When asked if the division might be up for grabs, Tom Brady and the Patriots, could we have seen his final game with New England? At least one renowned NFL reporter is saying everything he's hearing leads him to believe Brady is moving on. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. In 25 minutes at 11, Chase Young met with the media in Indianapolis today. We've got that audio. We'll react to the many things that Chase Young had to say, including questions about his interest in being a Washington Redskin. My guess, just from the many hours of Chase Young conversation we've had on this show and on this station, dating back to the fall when he was at Ohio State, is that you guys will want to hear from Chase Young for the first time.
He just sounds like a badass.
Yeah, he does.
You know, like, he just sound, what were you here to do? Just hunt the guy in the other uniform.
Some of the quotes he says, they just get you pumped. Like, someone asked him why he's not doing stuff at the Combine. And his answer was basically, well, I plan on proving that I'm a great football player, not being a combine hero. Like, it's just like, yep, okay.
Thanks.
But again, we talked about how confident Dwayne Haskins is. I think Chase Young's in the same boat. Those two guys, say whatever you want about Haskins, say whatever you want about Chase Young, you can't tell me they don't think they're the best in the world at what they do.
Their confidence is unassailable. I'll tell you that.
And in the case of Haskins at times, it might not even be founded, right? I mean, last year he was having bad games and, like, after the game would talk like, it's fine. Everything's cool. I'm just out there making my throws. And it's like, he doesn't know that how bad that was, does he? Maybe he does, and he comes off always so calm and so collected. And I think that's what allows him to have that productive last two drives against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Or to turn it around where I'm thinking this is a lost season. And then against Philly, he played well. And against the Giants for a half, he played great.
Yeah, baseball scouts call it makeup. I had terrible makeup. I ground out my first at bat. I'm pouting for the next 6 hours. So that's the difference, is that water off a duck, man. Something bad happens to you. Okay, the next one's going to be great. That real...
Taskin's best attribute by far.
Absolutely.
Maybe that and his arm strength.
Yeah, those two things, that's growable. Those are good attributes.
It's a nice starting kit. Yeah. You throw in 50 touchdowns in the Big Ten with Ohio State and you might have something. And that's why the Redskins took him at number 15 overall. Jeff Darlington, speaking of quarterback play and quarterbacks who you might have something with. Tom Brady is the most decorated, successful, illustrious future Hall of Fame quarterback who's ever existed. Nobody's ever played in or won more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. He may be leaving the New England Patriots. Adam Schefter tweeted this out today, quoting Jeff Darlington of ESPN on Get Up, one of their many morning TV shows. Darlington, quote, I'm now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England. He used the word stunned.
Stunned.
As far as Brady and the Patriot goes. Now, he is a reporter at ESPN who covers the National Football League. He was in the division for a long time covering the Dolphins. He has had news on the Patriots and on Brady in the past. I don't think he's actually talking directly to Tom Brady. Obviously, I have no idea. So this could very well just be and incorrect speculation. I stop short of saying this is a report. This is not a report. This is him giving his educated opinion based on the discussions and conversations he's having with people close to the team and people close to Brady. But a guy like Darlington is not going to go on TV and say, I would be stunned if Brady went back to New England if he doesn't really feel that way, because if and when he re-signs with New England, if that's what we all think is most likely, you look like a fool.
Yeah, you got a little freezing cold takes action for yourself right
Everybody
there.
Remembers you're the guy that said Brady was leaving the next time, maybe this coming season, he's leading New England deep into the playoffs.
Think about the gap between there's a legitimate chance he leaves New England, right? That's a pretty strong thing to say.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. He might leave the Patriots. There's a good chance he plays elsewhere. Tom Brady really wants to test free agency.
I would be stunned. I would be stunned is a pretty large little phrase nugget to drop there for everybody. Put it in barbecue sauce and eat it.
This is by far the most powerfully worded declaration of a potential Brady-Patriots split that we have seen from anyone. And it happens to come from one of the, I would say, like top 10 NFL reporters in the country in Darlington. He goes on to say, I know you'll hate me. This is his tweet, RIP my mentions. I know you'll tell me I'm an idiot, and I understand why it's so hard for all of us, myself included, to start accepting this likelihood. Calls it a likelihood. Hey, there's still a chance, but the reality is Brady is looking toward free agency.
Couple more little headlines in the roundup, okay, because I'm doing some Googling, doing a little bit of searching. We got the Brady is looking forward to free agency. We got that from ESPN. But how about there's a strong buzz from Vic Taffer, not John Taffer, who fixes the bars, a strong buzz that Brady won't return to the Patriots in 2020. And how about this one? The Patriots have not reached out to Brady regarding a potential return to New England, and that's from the Boston Herald. They've not reached out to him.
So that's a stunner to me.
Yeah.
On February 27th, when they were bounced from the playoffs early this year, it's not like they went all the way to the Super Bowl and their season just ended when we were watching the Kansas City Chiefs season end. They get all the way to the Super Bowl, and you haven't talked to them since February 27th. Maybe I could chalk that up to, well, I mean, they were just playing a few weeks ago. They got eliminated in their opening round playoff game.
That's right.
By the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they have had well over a month now to contact Tom Brady. If it was a priority, you think the Saints and Brees haven't talked yet? You kidding me? I mean, think about how quickly Drew Brees is already determined that he's coming back to New Orleans. How about the Chargers and Phil Rivers?
Yeah, there was a...
conversations within 2 weeks. And we already knew at that time, Rivers had put his house on the market. He was moving to Florida. And they were announcing that they're going their separate ways. These are guys in a similar boat to Brady. The Patriots haven't talked to him yet. Something is weird there. Darlington is saying he'd be stunned if Brady goes back. But yet, just because none of us can picture it, just because it is unconscionable to think of Brady in another uniform, we're all just kind of assuming this is going to work itself out. He'll be back with the Patriots. Here's the question. Are you buying this? Patriots or the field for Tom Brady? You got to put your fortune down on one of those two. Patriots or the field? Danny and I will answer that. 800-636-1067. At least one of us is going to take the field. I can tell you that because it's going to be me.
And you were, I'm telling you, you were first on Plymouth Rock, establishing a new civilization. You're welcoming people into the village.
Still could be wrong.
Assigning people jobs.
I will assign Tom Brady a team that isn't the Patriots. Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Speculation for a while has been that he's looking forward to testing free agency. We got our most definitive non-report opinion from a reporter yesterday. And if you listen to this show, you know how important that diction is to me.
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. There is a difference between reporting something and just kind of saying what you think as a reporter. Huge difference. A report sounds like this. Tom Brady will hit free agency and is unlikely to return to the New England Patriots. A speculative assertion sounds like this. I'm now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England. Notice the difference?
Yes.
Now, that having been said, Jeff Darlington, who said that today on ESPN, their NFL reporter, it's still going harder and further than anybody else has to say that there's a real good chance Brady's not going to be a Patriot. He will be stunned if he is, based on the conversations he's had with Brady's team, whoever that is, agent and otherwise, and the Patriots side of things. I doubt he's texting with Bill Belichick, but who knows? The question is, what are you going to put your cash on? The Patriots, who have been the heavy favorite here, or the field, 800-636-1067.
As you know, I wouldn't buy this. I wouldn't do it. I just kicking and screaming, despite mounting evidence, despite my friend Grant Paulson sharing data points with me, I said, yeah, but it's the Patriots and it's Tom Brady. That's my only argument. I have no other context, no other argument, no other data points. This would get thrown out in a court of law.
Feels like a good enough argument.
But it's Brady and the Patriots, right?
If Jordan can play for the Wizards, can't Brady play for somebody else?
My thinking has evolved.
Really?
My thinking has changed. This is the iron will and obstinance of two Hall of Famers barreling down the highway at each other, and nobody's blinking.
You see?
This is Tom Brady's desperation to prove that he can do it without the nest. This is Bill Belichick's desperation to prove that he didn't need Tom Brady in the first place. He's leaving.
You think he's leaving?
He's leaving.
Wow.
I have come to Plymouth Rock, and I have humbly asked for shelter. I have asked my friend Grant Paulson for a vocation. Maybe I could pick some logs up and put them in the fire to keep people warm.
Realize that you're still coming to the dangerous place.
Let me do something.
We're still in the minority here.
Oh, I know.
I will give you shelter, and I will welcome you to Plymouth Rock, and I will let you know that we might still die. Because there's a very good chance he goes back, because, as you said,
you got to hack it out in the wilderness.
Brady in New England. What else needs to be said? But I'm going with the field. I think this is happening. Where do you see him ending up?
Oakland. Now Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Obviously, right? To me, the lack of enthusiasm for Derek Carr, John Gruden's affinity and love affair with anybody that's old. He loves veteran quarterbacks so much.
Gruden would be. Think about Shanahan. The first move that was made, I don't know if it was his move or Snyder's move or what have you, but coaches like that, they love veterans. They love it. Shanahan used to talk about the guys that he helped coach and Steve Young and these players. I mean, they were excited about the possibility with Donovan McNabb because they'd seen it and they'd done it. A guy like John Gruden would much rather work with a GOAT and a legend in Tom Brady than some guy that he just drafted who he's got to now teach all the tricks of the trade.
Picture him yelling at Chris Sims in that video. I mean, that to me makes a lot of sense. What buzz? I mean, you've already got the 10-year head coach in John Gruden, who's your celebrity. Now you add in Brady to that team going to Vegas and Mark Davis and his dumb haircut. That to me makes the most sense. Tennessee's still viable. I know they're flirting with Ryan Tannehill, but the Vrabel connection makes sense to me.
So, yeah, I agree with that. He and Vrabel are good friends. By the way, the Titans have beaten the Patriots every time that Vrabel's been their head coach against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
In the regular season, I believe. The playoffs last year, did New England not beat Tennessee last season? Did they match up? Or was that Kansas City?
No, Tennessee beat them in the first round.
No, not this year.
The year before.
Last year. I'm trying to remember the postseason.
I can't pull it.
I feel like because Vrabel made the joke earlier this offseason about his relationship with Tom Brady. He said 2-0. But I thought I remembered the Patriots and them playing last year when I was at a bachelor
party.
They
beat the hell out of the Patriots in November of last year.
Correct.
But I thought you asked about the playoffs. I apologize.
Yeah.
During the season, they woodshedded them.
Who did they play in the playoffs last year?
No.
So who'd the Titans lose to? I'm thinking of the Chiefs.
Well, Titans didn't make it to the postseason in 2018. They were 9-7, but just missed out.
Okay.
It was the year before they beat Kansas City.
Kansas City with Alex Smith. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess Vrabel's right then. He's 2-0 against Brady. But they're boys. They're tight. They have a relationship. I could see that as a fallback option. No, you're looking for teams that are kind of a quarterback away. The Colts would make a lot of sense, but I think the Colts and Phil Rivers are
going to
be the tandem. Let's go to Dennis in Fredericksburg. This is my dad's name. I love that. What's up, Dennis? How are you?
Okay. Good morning, guys. I just wanted to chime in on this because I've been a Pats fan since 72, back in the Jim Plunkett, John Hanna days. And if you didn't see the article that came out a couple weeks ago, that Robert Kraft actually encouraged Tom Brady to go out and test the free agent market, is that Kraft wants to get a feel for what teams are going to offer Tom, and he's going to come back and match it or increase over anything that anybody's going to give him. And the other point is, why would you want to rent a quarterback for 2 years? Because Tom says he wants to play till he's 45. That's 2 years. If you bring him in and you make the playoffs and you get beat in the first round as such this year, then have you wasted all your money on a team that you bring Brady in to make a Super Bowl run.
Context matters.
You don't get there.
It's a great question. If you're legit good, then you're not doing this because you presumably already have a quarterback. But if you haven't eaten at the big kids table, at the grown-up table in a decade, if you've been garbage, if you haven't had any success since 2002 when Rich Cannon was your quarterback in Oakland and now you're in Vegas, it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, his point is short-sighted too. Do you know how much money bringing in Tom Brady is going to make a team? Whether it's the Raiders, who need a main event attraction in the center of the ring for their circus taken to Vegas with them, or it's anybody else, the Colts or the Chargers. Think about the jersey sales. Think about the press conference and the number of credentials that are going to be issued. Think about the upcoming season, the number of butts and seats and tickets that will be sold. Doesn't matter if Tom Brady's good or not. Let's say he has nothing left. And it wasn't like he was terrible last year. 4,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 8 picks, an 88 rating. He was good, he just wasn't great. And he had no weapons around him. But let's say that's who he is now and he's not good anymore. Doesn't matter. The Redskins played this game for years where they bring in a big name, splashy acquisition, everyone claps like seals, and they make millions and millions and millions of dollars hand over fist. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams would love to have Tom Brady. Are you kidding? In addition to that, yeah, 2 years is a lot of time in the league. It gives you 3 seasons to find a quarterback that you worry about after that. Most coaches aren't around for 3 or 4 seasons. So if you can guarantee yourself 2 years of adequate quarterback play as a bar,
that's worth something.
You'll take that and you'll be happy with it. Now, I can tell you that personally, I think Brady's best days are obviously behind him. And I believe that leaving Belichick's a huge mistake because I've always thought Belichick was more the reason why they won than Tom Brady was. And I think it's a huge mistake for Brady to leave because he could get exposed a little bit here. But I think that's a different debate than what you're asking, which is why would a team want him? I think every team should want Tom Brady. Are you kidding? I mean, if you're not Breeze, Rodgers, there's like 7 to 8, maybe 9 teams with quarterback situations that are better.
Definitively better.
Than if you were to bring in Tom Brady this year. And I'm not just talking about on the field. I'm accounting for the financials as well. Appreciate the phone call. 800-636-1067. Patriots or the field for Brady. We can get a couple more thoughts on that. Plus, next, you're going to hear from Chase Young. Spoke today at the Combine. What did he say about the Redskins? You'll know in a moment right here on the Nation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.